It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times on 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. And joining me now, Sean Waterman, Washington Times national security reporter. Hello, Sean. How are you?
Hello, Andy.
Massive cyber attack slows world's internet traffic. Seemed like a normal day on the net for me yesterday. What happened, and was it mostly on the other side of the pond?
Yes, apparently the slowdown was mainly noticeable in Europe. What happened is that an organization called Spam House, which is a non-profit that works with email and internet providers and with law enforcement as well, to help weed out spam email, unsolicited commercial email, that organization came under attack in something called a DDoS, or a distributed denial of service attack, where basically the target gets flooded with all of this fake internet traffic, and the computer servers that handle, that host the website for this organization get knocked offline because basically real users can't get through all of this fake traffic.
I gotcha.
Now, what happened the last couple of days, and I believe may have stopped today, actually, but what's been happening the last couple of days is that the volume of traffic involved in these attacks has risen to absolutely unprecedented size. So the Cloudflare, which is the security company that's helping Spam House to deal with this attack, said that at one point they measured the traffic involved in the attack at 300 gigabits per second.
Wow.
It sounds like a lot, doesn't it? And I mean, just to give you an example, right, an hour-long video, standard definition video, if you stream that, that's about 1 gigabit of data.
Wow.
So if you can imagine 300 hours of video every second.
Yeah.
Amazingly, the Spam House website has been fine. You can get to it. You know, I looked it up yesterday to get some email information for some of the people involved in the story, and it was working fine. But what's happened is that all of this traffic out there has actually apparently been slowing internet access for everyone else as well, because when you get to that kind of volume, you know, it's not just the target site that can be affected, but all of the other areas of the internet, you know, the traffic has to traverse to get from where it's being generated to where it's, well, it kind of disappears at the end, because what they've been doing, you know, what Cloudflare and Spam House have been doing is sort of routing it, what they call null routing, which, you know, basically means sort of you send it into a black hole, really, which is how come the website is still reachable.
All right. Now, this is the biggest attack, cyber attack in history. Is that what I gather?
Well, Arbor Networks, which is another security firm, said on their Twitter feed yesterday they posted a link to a bar chart that shows, you know, cyber attacks that they've measured in the past. And, you know, they say that the highest ever reported was 100 gigabits a second. So this was three times that size. So, you know, it does seem like this might be the biggest DDoS attack ever.
Yeah, but it does show how easy it is to disrupt everyday work and play for individuals. You know, you and I have talked many times about what the future holds for cyber attacks. I think we got a pretty good glimpse yesterday.
Yes, I mean, I think that's right. I mean, DDoS is, you know, you can do it in a number of different ways, Andy. In Russia, for example, it's very common, you know, even local businesses, right? So if you've got two pizza stores competing, I've been told, in a small town, they will DDoS each other. They will, both of them will be, you know, renting these things called botnets, which is basically a sort of a zombie army of infected computers that that have been enslaved by these hackers, and you can rent them, and then you can sick them on your enemy, you know, so that when Boris goes online to try and order his pizza, he can't get it from your rival, and then, you know, presumably you hope he'll come to you instead. But, you know, plumbers, I mean, small businesses do this quite routinely in Russia, so it's obviously a bit less common over here, but...
Right.
it's pretty massive, and as I say, it seems to have stopped for the time being. I think all the attention has probably started to embarrass the people involved.
Yeah. Massive cyber attack slows world's internet traffic. Folks, if you haven't read it, check it out. It's in today's Washington Times. I wanted to touch base with you, though, quickly on another story I know you've been working on, and that is the U.S. Embassy in South Korea has warned North Korea by, I guess, sending a photo of a B-2 stealth bomber and telling him it's just across the border?
Well, yeah, they've done that a couple of times in the last week or so, Andy. Tweeted a picture of, last week, I think it was a B-52. This week, the much more advanced stealth bomber, the B-2. You know, there is this, it's a little bit odd, to my way of thinking, Andy, because it almost seems like the United States is kind of getting into it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
With the North, they're being very bellicose and threatening in their rhetoric. So, well, perhaps we should be as well. You know, I'm not quite sure how I feel about that. But North Korea, I mean, it's odd, isn't it? It's a bit of an odd country, I suppose you might say. I mean, in the BBC, we used to say that someone was a real individual or a real eccentric, when what we meant was he was absolutely bonkers. And all of these threats about turning Seoul into a sea of fire and using its long-range missiles to attack the United States, well, it hasn't got any long-range missiles. And, you know, the ones that that most observers think they might have, you know, couldn't reach the United States, maybe Hawaii, maybe. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, most people think not even there. So, you know, and then you've got him watching this fleet of drones carry out drills. Well, I mean, the drones probably don't exist. There's absolutely no indication of any kind that the North Koreans have got working drone technology. So it's hard to read exactly what's going on because, as I say, it's all a bit bonkers, really.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll be watching it. I know you will. And please pass along any new information. We always appreciate it. Sean, great to talk to you again. Thank you.
Thank you, Andy.
Sean Waterman, national security reporter here at the Washington Times. 357, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT.